Please take your Bibles and let's stand as we turn in 2 Corinthians to chapter 13. We are going to be looking at one verse today. Verse 5. Hear now God's holy word, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? This is God's holy word. Please be seated. I once had a Christian friend who was also a pastor who complained to me that Reformed believers today should not be involved in what he called spiritual navel gazing. Now, what he meant by that was that today's Christians ought not to question their faith. He believed that if you have been baptized, that's proof enough that you're a Christian. Don't worry about it. But Paul says something exactly the opposite of what my friend said. Paul says here, to the church in Corinth and to us as well, that you and I are to test ourselves, we are to examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith. So self-examination is not only biblical. According to Paul, it is a duty that we have to fulfill. It's a duty for all believers throughout all church history, everywhere. So we're called upon to test and examine ourselves. Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves, Paul says. Now, when Paul asked the Corinthians these questions, to examine themselves, to test themselves, he's doing so in such a way that indicates that he expects that the end result of the test and the examination will be a positive outcome, that they will be able to say, yes, indeed, we have tested ourselves, we have examined ourselves, and we see that we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are living by faith. And so these two words, test and examine, demand that the Corinthians and you and I engage in introspection. We're to look within. Now, he says emphatically that they're to do this because he repeats the word. He uses the word yourselves. And literally what he says is, yourselves test, yourselves examine. And so it's placed in a place of emphasis. He is emphatically saying to the Christians in Corinth that they are to examine themselves, each one. Now, what that doesn't mean is they're supposed to turn around and look at everybody else in the church and examine them and not look at themselves at all. It's not like, well, I'm going to see if Joe Blow over here is a Christian. I'm going to put him to the test, and I'm not too sure about him. But no, the finger is pointed at yourself. And so Paul emphatically says to each Christian in Corinth and to you and me, you're supposed to put yourself to the test. Each one is to do that, not just examine everybody around you, but examine yourself. Now, Paul is doing in this, he is answering the question that others have asked about him. And so in the context of what's happening here, they had implied that Jesus was not speaking through Paul. We saw that already. But his response is to turn around and ask the Corinthians to examine their own lives to see if Christ is living within them. And so the point is, and what Paul's saying is, if it's true of you, Corinthians, that Christ is living in you, then it's also true of me, Paul, because I preach the gospel to you that you have heard. And so he's basically answering this thing of, look at your life. If you see Christ living within you, then you know that Christ was speaking through me. That's sort of the context here. But what he asks us to do is broader than that as well. It's broader than merely offering proof that Paul is God's apostle. Yes, it does say that, but it says more than that. These are questions that Paul asks us to consider that need to be answered by every single person who is a professing Christian everywhere. These questions are intended to provoke in you and in me an examination of what you believe and how you live. And so what we're looking at here is what Paul says about asking these Corinthian Christians to test themselves to see if they're in the faith. And it has to do with both faith, belief, and also life, walk. Those words, in the faith, that Paul uses, only occur four times in the New Testament. They occur right here in this passage. They also occur at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. And Paul wrote them to Titus in chapter 1, where he says, this testimony is true. For this reason, reprove them severely so that they may be sound in the faith. And Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 says, now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and so on. Now, what do these words mean? What do they imply? What they imply is not just believing the right things, but also how those beliefs, how you're supposed to act on those beliefs in a proper way. And so it is believing the right things, but then acting on those beliefs in the right way. So, what are you to believe if you are in the faith, as Paul asks? You have to believe that you're a sinner, that you are lost in sin, that you are without hope except for the sovereign mercy of Almighty God found in Jesus Christ. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of sinners, that there's not someone else out there, that there is no other mediator between God and man than the man Christ Jesus. You have to believe that the only way that you could ever come to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is not only the Savior of all of God's elect people, that's a general statement that's absolutely true, but you have to believe that He is your personal Savior and Lord as well. And so what it all boils down to is you must put your trust in Christ alone for your salvation as He's offered in the gospel taught in Holy Scripture. Only when you can answer yes to those questions and others like them can you consider yourself to be in the faith. So if you can't answer yes to any of those things, if you don't think that you're a sinner, if you don't think that you need a Savior, if you don't think that Christ is the only Savior, if you're not trusting in Him, obviously you fail the test. You would not be in the faith. And so you must answer yes to all of those things. But there's more. There's more. And this is where Paul wants you to evaluate your walk, your Christian life. Because true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which receives Christ, then issues in genuine Christian living. True faith in this regard, having once received Christ, is then active and constantly forces you to test yourselves to see if Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit is living in your hearts. So how do you know? How do you know? Well, you know by looking at your walk, by looking at your life. Are you walking in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ? And what that means is, as Jesus said, if you love Him, you will keep His commandments. A mark of passing this test would be seeing that you strive by the grace of God through faith in Christ to live by the commands of God. And that implies, of course, the moral law, the Ten Commandments. You want to live according to what is taught in the Scriptures. It means seeking to live and to obey the things that Jesus explained about the Ten Commandments in the Sermon on the Mount, as well as everything else that we find throughout Scripture. And so all the commands of Christ and all the law of God, following those things. All of this adds up to what we would call living a life of holiness as defined by Scripture. A life of holiness as defined by Scripture is a growing hatred towards sin. Is there still sin in your life? Yes, there is. Even in the most sanctified believer, there is still sin in your life. But there should be a growing hatred toward that sin that yet remains within you. And there should be a desire to forsake sin rather than revel in sin. There should be a growing love for the truths and the commands of God. And so what Paul is asking the Corinthians to do, and asking you and me to do as well, is to examine yourselves, examine your obedience to the commands of Christ. Now, like I said, your obedience is not going to be perfect in this life, and yet you ought to be seeking all the same to obey with all of your heart the commands of Scripture as a faithful believer in the Lord Jesus. And also, this means that you are going to be communing with God in prayer. Another way to see if you're walking in the right way is to check your prayer life. Prayer is to the soul what breathing is to the body. It is a natural effect of being alive. You breathe air naturally. You don't have to think about breathing air. That's a good thing that we don't have to consciously all the time think, well, I have to breathe out now. Now I have to breathe in. Now I have to breathe out. We'd get absolutely nothing done if that were the case. When it comes to prayer, you should pray to God through Christ as supernaturally as you don't question whether or not you breathe. In other words, this ought to be an evidence and a proof of a new life within you that prayer is something that you do without even questioning. Both are reflexes of being alive. On the one hand, you breathe, you're alive physically. On the other hand, you pray, you're alive spiritually. And so, Paul's asking us to examine our prayer lives. Now, I also know that none of us will ever say, I pray as diligently as I ought to. Okay, this is a thing that every Christian is going to say, I don't pray as often, I don't pray as diligently. And yet, we ought to all be able to say, I seek to pray to God through Christ with heartfelt gratitude for what Christ has done for me. And so, if you can say that, then this is a proper answer to that question. And then Paul wants us to recognize the truth. Do you not recognize this about yourselves, he asks. He wants the Corinthians, and he wants you and me, to recognize a central truth about ourselves. That there's some key things to believe and some key things to follow and to affirm that he's about to say. And all of these things flow from the fact that you are a believer in Christ. That Jesus Christ is in you. Now, where did that saying come from? This is not something brand new that people thought up. I have heard people a few years back criticize this idea of talking to people about Christ living in your heart. And yet, the Scriptures tell us that that's absolutely true. Jesus, in his farewell address to his disciples, said this, John 14:20, in that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now, the unity of Christ with his Father in the Trinity is implied, but also the unity of Christ in working together with his Father in his holy mission is involved as well. And the unity of all believers in Christ our Savior is spoken of there. And so all of that lies behind what you and I are acknowledging. Now, how is Christ in you? That's the question. How is Christ in you? That Jesus Christ is in you. How is he in you? He is in you by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who lives in each believer. You have been born again. You have a new heart. You have a new nature. And the Holy Spirit dwells within each of you. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not a Christian. We've seen Paul talk about that in Romans, for example. And so the Holy Spirit dwells within your heart, and this is He's the one who gives you the gift of faith, and He is the one who enables you by doing so to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is the one who sanctifies you daily, conforming you more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. So what this means is that as the Holy Spirit dwells within you, who is the Spirit of Christ, Christ dwells within you, and therefore you constantly want to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. You constantly want to do His holy will. You ought to want to forsake sin and evil, and your lives ought to more and more resemble the testimony of the faith that you have and that you proclaim. But then there is this question, unless indeed you fail the test. Now, when Paul writes those words, he writes them with a certainty that they will pass this test. The words imply that he's not unsure at all. Will there be some in the church at Corinth that will fail? Probably so. He's writing to the whole church, however, and he says with confidence he believes that they will pass this test, but he wants each one to examine their faith and obedience to Christ. He's sure that they are faithful. He's sure that they are obedient, as he would be of any of God's elect people. He is certainly sure that they will not fail the test, but he wants them and us to consider the possibility of failure and the ramifications of failure. Why would God want us to think about that? Well, he wants us to think about that because of what failure means. Failure leads to hardness of heart, and hardness of heart leads to spiritual death. And so he wants all those who profess faith in Christ at the church in Corinth and you and me to consider what failure means. Think about how failure progresses. You fail to examine yourself diligently, and so you begin to grow lazy and lax in your spiritual life. And when you grow lazy and lax in your spiritual life, you begin to backslide into sin. What's that look like? Well, you stop praying. You stop obeying the Word of God. You stop worshiping the Lord together with others on the Lord's Day. You stop worshiping the Lord individually at home. And you begin to drift away from Christ and His church. You become more and more content in the ways of the world and begin to hate the ways of God. Now, this will never be the final end of any of God's elect. Anyone who is genuinely one of God's elect will be brought back by God. And sometimes the way God goes about bringing that person back is rather dramatic. King David, for example, fell into sin for a time. And he committed some awful sins and crimes in doing so, adultery and murder. And yet God brought him back into fellowship with Him because David was one of God's people. So God will bring His people back to Himself, but that does not mean that it is pleasant in the meantime, or nor is the means that God's going to use to bring you back pleasant for you. And so this exhortation is always appropriate. This exhortation to test yourself, to put yourself to the test, to examine yourself, is always an appropriate thing. You need to answer the question, what does it mean for me to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? What does it mean for me to be in the faith, as Paul says? It means that you belong to the Lord Jesus in this life and in the one to come. It means that you desire to be His faithful steward, His faithful servant in this world in the meantime. It means that you, as John Calvin famously said, present your heart to Him, to God, promptly and sincerely. It means that you desire to oppose the works of the evil one. It means, bottom line, that you long to be with Christ, not just in this life, but throughout all eternity as well. The question is, do you pass the test? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this very simple and yet extremely profound exhortation that your servant Paul gave to the Corinthian Christians. This exhortation that applies to us, this question that applies to us as well. And Lord, we pray that each of us would be diligent in examining ourselves, putting ourselves to the test to see that Christ is in us. Lord, may we live for Christ day by day with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so pass the test. We ask that this would be true in our lives. We pray this through Christ our King. Amen.